Welcome to Benefit from the Bible. Our topic today is sin. May God use the reality of our sin to draw us ever closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to the topic today of sin, we pray for your blessing upon us, that you would show us not only that we are sinners, but show us a little bit more to the extent of our sin, the various ways that we can fall into sin, and help us to fully admit that we are sinners, that we have sinned against you, that we cannot fix it. And may that fill us with great gratitude then for what you have done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for your blessing even now in his name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, God is holy. That means he has never, ever sinned. Then, so that we would know what sin is, what has God done? He has given us the Holy Bible. So how is it that we sin, though? Well, we sin when God says, "You shall not," but we do. Or when God says, "You shall," but we do not. Before we get to the topic of sin itself, I want to briefly touch on our three assigned readings for today. And they're going to call us to be more serious, I believe, about the topic of sin. The Lord said through Isaiah, "The heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies." That doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? Why would such things happen? That is because of sin. So God wants us to know sin is a very serious matter. What about in our second reading? Our epistle reading today is found in Romans 12. And in part of that reading, Paul is writing to those Christians in Rome, and he writes to them, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." What does it mean to be conformed to this world? Well, first of all, what kind of a world do we live in? We live in a sinful world. So if we are being conformed to the world, that means we are sinning just like the rest of the world. What is God saying? God is saying, do not be conformed in that way. Don't be like the rest of the world. Realize that you are in the world, but you are not of the world, so don't sin like the rest of the world. And then he says that we are rather to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So how do we do that? That means to dig into God's word, to fill our minds with the word of God, and the word of God contains the will of God. And then God will empower us by the Holy Spirit to do his will in our lives so we can show that we are, in fact, the holy children of God in Jesus Christ. And then we go on to the gospel reading briefly. We find ourselves in Matthew 16, and that's where Jesus asked his disciples the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And then we come to Peter's wonderful confession. He said about Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So we have all this bad news about sin, and then we come to the wonderful fact of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is good news. That is what we need, because no human being could take away our sin. We can't fix it. No other human being can come to our rescue without the Son of God putting on human flesh and coming to our rescue. We would all be lost and condemned forever. But God loves us so much that he has done this in Christ, living for us, dying for us, to take away our sin. But what about the topic of sin, though? I want to go to that focus even more now so that we can better see our own sins. May God move us to be heartily sorry for them. Not simply saying we're sorry, sorry on the surface, but heartily sorry. That means from deep inside all the way out. And also that he might show us more clearly who our Lord Jesus Christ is, that he is our Savior, that in fact, no matter how great our sins are, he has taken away our sins, and in him we are forgiven. What we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at five Greek words which deal with the topic of sin. So the first one we come to is pronounced hamartia, and that is the common Greek word for sin. So we find that most often in the Greek New Testament, hamartia comes up over and over again, oftentimes translated simply sin. What does that really mean, though? Think about having a bow and arrow and being in an archery contest. So you're shooting at this round target. And what do you have on the round target? You have these stripes. You have a stripe on the outside, one a little bit closer, 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 until you get to the middle, which we call the bullseye. So what is the idea when you pull back that bow and get ready to shoot the arrow? The idea is you want your arrow to hit in the middle. You want a bullseye. So what is the idea of the Christian life? In the Christian life, as God's forgiven children, our goal is to perfectly do the will of God. Not to simply just hit the target, but to hit the bullseye. That is what God desires for us. What I want to mention in this section is we have some other shades of hamartia, or sin, that we're going to take a look at. I have four of them. First of all, a hamartia, or sin, is a departure from doing right. So in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, it says, all unrighteousness is hamartia, or all unrighteousness is sin. So if we are righteous, then we are without hamartia. But if we are unrighteous, that means we have sin. So anything less than perfectly right is sin. God wants us to know that sin, or hamartia, that brings separation from God. Why did God make us? He wants us to be with Him forever, but sin brings about a separation. So we see these words in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, repent and return that your hamartias, here we'd have the plural, the hamartias, in other words, our sins, may be wiped away. So think about the words repent and return. So repent means be sorry for your sins, and then return is implying the idea that we have walked away from God. God didn't go anywhere. We walked away from Him, and how did we do that? We did that by sinning. So when we sin, we are separating ourselves from God. So if we choose to continue in sin, we choose to be apart from God. God doesn't want that for us. So God is saying to us, in great love, He's saying, repent and return. I want to wash away your sins. I want to assure you that you are forgiven. Also, too, when it comes to this reality of hamartia, we have a hamartia nature, or a sin nature, that lives within us. Even as Christians, we have the sin nature. Notice what it says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. It says, do not let sin, in other words, do not let hamartia reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. So you pick up this idea of the sin nature, and what does it want to do in each of us? It wants to reign. It wants to be on the throne. It wants to be in control. God is saying, don't let it happen. What is the answer? God says, feed the new nature so that the new nature can dominate over the sin nature. And how do we feed the new nature? Right here, through God's holy word. And then God wants us to know that hamartias, or sins, they hinder our Christian living. God wants us to live in such a way that is a victorious Christian life, but yet if we allow sin in our lives, it's not going to happen. Consider here Romans chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, this idea of others surrounding us who have said no to sin and yes to God's will, these are the witnesses, if you will. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the hamartia, or the sin, which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So think about this idea of running a race. Now, I wouldn't be much of a runner anyway, but if I was going to be in a race, would it work out very well if I left my all on to run the race? Probably not. So maybe something more like this pair of shorts, maybe this would be better for running the race. So a pair of shorts like this, it would not hinder my legs from moving. That way I could do a little bit better in running the race if I had on the proper equipment. I wouldn't have something like the alb hindering the movement of my legs. God wants us to know that when we allow sin into our lives, that is hindering how God wants us to be as Christians in this sinful world. So God is saying, take that seriously. Don't let it just be there, but identify it, repent of it, and rejoice that in Christ you are forgiven. I have some other words I want to touch on too, but we'll go over them a little more quickly here. We come to another word related to sin, and that is the Greek word hetema. And that's translated sometimes loss, sometimes failure, sometimes defeat. How do we get into this loss, failure, defeat? I think that happens when we try to do things as people our own way and in our own strength. When we try to do such things, it's not going to turn out well. Even though we think it will, and that's why we try, it's not going to turn out well. As I think about this particular word, I think about the fruit of the Spirit. So we find that in Galatians 5. We have 9 fruit of the Spirit, 9 parts of that reality. The very last one is self-control. So maybe that's the last one to finally begin to come a little bit to maturity, because it's easy for any of us under certain circumstances to get a bit out of control. Well, when we find ourselves out of control, God wants us to know that that is a loss for us. That's a failure for us. That's a defeat for us. So hetema is a result of being defeated. Think about the words here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. St. Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth, he writes, "Actually then, it is already a hetema, or a defeat for you, that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged?" So what was the situation within the Corinthian church? You have 2 people who are professing faith in Christ. They have a dispute between them, and they cannot work it out. So what do? The one Christian goes to the court and complains to the court about the other Christian. So now both of them have to go to the secular court and let the secular court make a decision as to what these 2 Christians could do. Is that a good thing? Isn't that a sad thing that these 2 believers in Jesus Christ, forgiven through him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Word, that they could not work it out on their own and they had to go to the secular authorities to be able to get some help here? Very sad situation. In the Lutheran Study Bible, it says, "Enduring wrong is more victorious than to put a fellow believer under worldly authority." Going on to the third word, this is a little bit different here, but we're talking about an unintentional sin with the word peripatoma. So we find this translated either trespass or transgression. So I'm asking you to think about a time when you did not intend to sin, but yet you found yourself having fallen into sin. Now, I'm not saying this has happened to anybody, but it could happen, though. For example, we don't believe in the Bible that it's wrong to take a drink of an alcoholic beverage, but we do believe it's wrong to get drunk. So let's say you intend to simply have 1 drink, and that's it. You're not going to get drunk by any means. But let's say, though, you have 1 drink. You plan to stop there. You wanted to stay on God's path, which is a straight and narrow path, and yet you found that you unintentionally fell into sin. You went further than you intended to. So now you're at an outing and you're planning to drive home and you're thinking, I'm okay. I'll be okay here. I can see okay and function okay. It'll be fine. Well, you find yourself having been pulled over by a police officer, and now he's wanting you to walk this straight line. And you're thinking you can do it. You're trying to do it, and yet you can't quite do it. So the line is this narrow, And he's saying, stay on that line. And what do you find yourself doing? You find yourself trespassing. Because he's saying, stay within this distance, and you find yourself a little bit over on this side, a little bit over on this side. So to trespass is to cross the line. We could also say that peripatoma, that is deviating from what is right. So again, the Bible teaches that if people are getting drunk and they are doing so without repentance, the Bible says they have no salvation. God wants us to be clear about that. That's the passage where it says, do not be deceived. There are probably many people who claim Christ, live in drunkenness, and think heaven is theirs. God is saying, do not be deceived. If you are continuing in that drunkenness, you do not have heaven. It is closed to you. God wants us to know that. It's better to find that out now than it is to find out on the day that Christ comes and to find out that we are excluded from his presence forever and ever. But is there good news, though, for the repentant, for those who are sorry for their sins? For those who, by God's grace, are looking to Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our peripatomaton. In other words, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So through the blood of Jesus, which is holy and precious, God has redeemed us. That means he has purchased us. Through that blood, we have the forgiveness of our sins, and that is according to his grace. That's according to God's love for us. That's not according to our good actions toward him. God wants us to know that when we have forgiveness, when we are saved, that is not what we have done. That is all about what God has done for us. He is so good to us. And then we come to the fourth word today, a Greek word pronounced agnoema, and this is a sin of ignorance. Do you remember when Peter tried to convince Jesus to not go to the cross? Jesus had told, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be put on trial. I'm going to be put to death, and I'm going to rise on the third day. And Peter tried to tell him, no, Lord, that's not going to happen, and I'm going to do everything I can to try to prevent it. What did the Lord end up saying to Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. Did Peter mean well? By all means. He loved his Lord. He wanted to protect him at all costs, even to lay down his own life. But yet, what about Jesus? He was born in order to die. He would fulfill his ultimate purpose for coming into the world when he finally declared from the cross, it is finished, and when he finally said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That is what he came for. So agnoema means to do wrong without deliberate intent. So we're talking here about sins committed in ignorance. We're talking about unconscious error. We're talking about oversight. So is there forgiveness when we fall into sin in this manner? By all means. Going to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7, it says, into the second tabernacle, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the agnoema, in other words, for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. So that's what was going on in the Old Testament when the high priest would enter once each year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And now we see Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, entering the true tabernacle, entering not with the blood of animals, but with his own holy precious blood in order to offer that ultimate sacrifice that we all need that has taken away our sins. One final word here, we have the Greek word periko, which is translated oftentimes disobedience. So think about what the Lord said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2. Very clear, he said, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die.
So paroko is an unwillingness or a refusal to listen. Thus, it is disobedience. Going to Romans chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "For as through the one man's paroko, or disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous." That is good news for us. But as I think about this idea of disobedience, boy, I'm afraid that many in the world who claim to believe in Jesus as Savior, that this idea of paroko or disobedience, I'm afraid it's way too much into their lives. So what did God do? We think about Jesus' words in Revelation chapter 3. He wrote, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So in great love, he's saying, hey, stop living in disobedience. Repent of that and know that in me, Jesus is saying, you are forgiven. Well, in conclusion, let me say that there are many shades of sin, but each one brings death and hell. God wants us to know that that is true apart from repentance. Therefore, as God speaks to us through his word, may God enable us to see our many shades of sin, to take responsibility for them, to be sorry for them, and to believe that we have God's gift of forgiveness, not because anything we have done, but solely because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then, filled with much peace, with much joy, may God empower us to say no to sin and yes to his perfect, holy will for our daily Christian lives. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening. Please join us next Sunday as we continue and conclude the topic of sin. Remember, the more we know about the reality of sin, the more we will see the need for our Lord Jesus Christ. For more of God's Word, visit us on the web at BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com or subscribe to our podcast, Benefit from the Bible. If you have Bible questions, email them to pastor@blc7500.com. Please pray for this Bible ministry. It's our desire that people would know God's truth, be set free from their sins, and live for Jesus Christ. If you attend a Bible-believing church, be faithful. If you live near us and are searching for a Bible-believing church, come and join us. If you live far away, seek out a church in your area that rightly handles God's word of truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.